What's up, guys? Fruki Bros here, back with another discussion. Today, we're going to be talking about Spider-Man Far From Home. This podcast video is going to be full spoilers. So if you haven't seen Far From Home yet, go watch it. Or if you don't care about spoilers, stick around and have fun with us talking about it. So to introduce ourselves, my name is Shiraz Faruqi, and I'm joined by my brother, Zayan.
What's up, guys?
My cousin, Umar.
Hey, everyone.
And my other cousin, Samir.
What's up?
So, like I said, today we're going to talk about Far From Home. We've all seen it. And, you know, there's not much more to explain. Let's just talk about the movie. Zayan, what did you think about the movie? Initial thoughts, just basic idea of the movie.
So, basic idea, you know, it was a good movie. You know, there wasn't, I wouldn't say it's a bad movie. It wasn't an amazing movie. It was just right there, you know. It's Spider-Man, you know, like, there's never been a bad Spider-Man movie, but this is not one of the better ones, I would say. In terms of the acting was all great. Mysterio did, Jake Gyllenhaal did a great job as Mysterio. Tom Holland, of course, did a great job as Spider-Man. The supporting cast was good, too. They improved on a lot of things from Homecoming, like the CGI. The action was really good. And then there were some things they doubled down on that Homecoming did that didn't work out, really. I mean, this movie is basically just jokes for 99% of it. 2%, it got, you know, you had some sincere moments, and those are the standout moments for me. The Mysterio, like, nightmare sequences, those are really sick. The visuals on that were just, like, crazy. I mean, they're better, they're some of the best visuals we've seen in the MCU. The CGI overall of Spider-Man was really good, too, compared to how he was in Homecoming. So on most aspects, they improved. But in terms of, like, the tone and the direction, I don't know, it just didn't do it for me.
Yeah, I agree with Jan. Far From Home was, it was a weird movie because, yeah, there were some parts that I really liked. Like, the CGI, just like Jan said, the CGI was good. The swing sequences were really good, especially that last one where he's in New York. The action sequences were really good. But in my opinion, the first act, like the last part of the first act and the start of the second act, were just kind of boring. Like, there's a lot of stuff where I actually, like, turned around to Samir and I was like, what the hell? Like, well, why? Like, who cares? It's a different take on the character. I mean, we grew up with Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, and then we watched the Garfield stuff. And he was older in those two interpretations. In this interpretation, he is young, so it's only fair that you're gonna have some lighthearted moments. But I really felt like there was a different way they could have went. The movie is about him like trying to get out of Tony Stark's shadow, but like the actual death of Tony Stark didn't. Like I wanted them to kind of. It's not about the movie you wanted, but, I think they could have made some different decisions. I did like Mysterio a lot. I thought Mysterio, the way Jake Gyllenhaal acted, especially because I'm not well-versed on the character, so, like, sometimes you do buy, like, when you're not, I feel like the people that weren't well-versed in the character, they bought into him being a good guy, and then he kind of slowly you realize, like, he's a weirdo. Speaking of weirdos, MJ and Peter Parker's storyline, I think was good. I think it was alright. They're two weirdos that like each other, so it's whatever. Like, it's hard to imagine.
I mean, they capture the idea of like awkward teenage romance, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I think that's what they're going for.
Yeah, I think, you know, in the Garfield movies, it's a little unrealistic because you have two people who are, you know, by all accounts, like, oh, really good looking people, and automatically they're falling in love, and everything's working out perfectly for them. And actually, in the chemistry-wise, it worked because they're together. They actually were a couple in real life. But I think the level of realism of how they show, like, how teenagers interact, I'm sure Samir can speak on it, but, like, it captured it, right, you know, with, like, the way the banter between it. And it kind of worked out. I mean,
their performances were good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, MJ's performance was good. Zendaya, her performance was really good. I think Peter Parker, look, listen, I know guys, people, like, don't like the world around Tom Holland. Like, they have problems with Aunt May, like I do. But the guy's a good Spider-Man. Like, he just is.
Visually, I think he has a look at Peter Parker down. And honestly, one of the rumors we could talk about is after Samir gets his chance to talk about the movie. But one of the rumors are that they're planning to make 9 solo movies. That's the plan for Spider-Man. Unlike anyone else, he's going to have 9 solo movies in the MCU, and we're only 2 in.
They're going to milk him.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is, you know, a high school trilogy, a college trilogy, and an adult trilogy. You can do a lot of stories in those movies, you know, a lot of stories. So right now we're in the middle of the high school trilogy, which is called the home trilogy. It's going to be called the home trilogy. Homecoming, Far From Home, and then I'm sure there'll be something else, something home related, you know. So, and then the next director could probably take a stab at it. But from there, I'll just pass it to Samir. What did you think about the movie, your basic thoughts?
I thought the whole first 2 acts were super forgettable. Like, it was completely whack. I don't even remember most of it, most of the ending.
And you watched it today.
up until, like, the first Mysterio Nightmare, like, the first interaction, like, the actual, like, battle or fight or whatever, right? I felt that the whole beginning was not good at all. Like, me and Omar just kept looking at each other like, why are we still here? Omar actually asked me to leave once. And I was like, nah, let's watch it.
Yeah. Listen, yeah, I think the movie has a good payoff in the sense of the third act is where it really happens. And there's a lot of good stuff, too. I know we were kind of harping on kind of what we didn't like, but particularly in the third act, and we talk about the nightmare sequences, of course. I know we're saying nightmare sequence actually was a Mysterio, you know, Mysterio's whole, like,
illusion,
illusions. And then, you know, there's some great stuff that happened, you know, with the costume changes. He went back to his, you know, his prototype armor for suit for a second. You see Tony Stark's mantle, his grave. There's a lot of stuff happening.
All right, let's freaking pause for a second. All right, they played the Avengers theme when he turned to start making his suit. It was freaking nuts. Me and Samir looked right at each other.
That scene was fire. Okay, for multiple reasons. Number one, if you guys remember Iron Man 1, it was an homage to Iron Man 1. When Tony was first building his suit,
yeah,
and the rock music started playing, that's why he said, I'll do the music, because Happy was with him. First of all, Happy meaning Jon Favreau is the one who directed Iron Man 1, and he's also directing Lion King, it's coming out. So he's the director of Iron Man 1, playing Happy. So when he says, I'll pick the music, it's like a great, like, homage to what Tony Stark was building his armor. And then Peter finally built his own suit, which is great. And I love that suit, honestly. When we finally came out, I'm like, it's a nice suit. Then the whole third act was great. Like, the final battle with Mysterio, I thought it was great in the sense where he finally let go into a spider sense. I know they call it Peter Tingle, which I thought kind of was whack, but
that pissed me off.
But, you know, the fans know it's a wink wink. The fans know it's spider sense. When he finally let it go and fully became, like, it reminded me of Ultra Instinct, he fully let go into his spider sense. So when Mysterio started attacking him with, like, 10, 15 drones, he was just effortlessly dodging and went right up to him. And then even when he was, like, pretending he was down and, like, trying to shoot him in the end with the bullet, and then Peter stopped him, that look that Tom Holland did with his eyes, like, he was basically tearing up. Like, he had a journey. Like, he was, like, dying inside. He was like, I'm not going to trust you. So, again, whatever you said, the line escapes me. But that sequence was freaking incredible, I thought.
Yeah, it was. Even on the plane, when they were on the plane, Happy had some moment. Like, when they got serious, when this movie did get serious, it did do well. Like, the moment, like, yes, it's a Marvel movie, and yes, the MCU has, like, a certain blueprint it has to follow, where they do follow, just, like, based on the history of it. But Happy had, like, one moment with him where he was, like, explaining to him how Tony Stark is a mess too. Like, it's very similar, like, to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Although Spider-Man's a kid. But he tells him how, like Tony Stark was a mess too. Like, he would second-guess himself just like anybody else. Like, he made him more human. I think Tony Stark, because of the sacrifice that he made at the end of Endgame, everyone sees him as invincible, and he is, in a sense. Like, he is.
But his image, like, his legacy in that universe, like, the way everyone honors him, his portraits and the walls are painted with Iron Man. Like, the world loves Iron Man, and it reminded me a little bit of how Suicide Squad handled kind of Superman's death, where everyone's, like, you know, like, mourning 24/7, and the plot in terms of Amanda Waller is driven by Superman's death. In this sense, everyone, especially when they finally revealed Mysterio's intentions, it was driven by Iron Man's death. And this is something that I had an issue with. I told Zian when it came out of the film, because, again, you're saying you're not well-versed, so you bought into it, but for people who know Mysterio, this is the second time a villain is tied to Tony Stark, which is a Spider-Man villain. The first time they did it was with Vulture, and they did it again with Mysterio, but Mysterio all the way. Like, he's an ex-employee, and all the other ex-employees who hate Tony Stark are banding together. And then, oh, the guy from Civil War and the guy from Iron Man 1. Like, it was too much tying together.
And
like,
the plot was kind of loose, too, because, like, they wanted technology to make, like, a new superhero or something. And, like, what was the real goal? It didn't make any sense.
I guess he wanted...
Did he want money? Did he want fame?
He wanted to be the greatest superhero. He wanted to be a bit better than Iron Man. And during Mysterio, that's what his goal
was.
That's
a lot of work just to
but
be the way.
That's why he was trying to make like those like catastrophic events.
He was trying to fake his way there. I think, guys,
did
like,
did he already have drones before he got the glasses?
Yeah, he did, but he had like the weaker drones. But because he got the Stark drones with the glasses, then he could make the hole when all of London was going to get destroyed. That was because of the big drones, but he could make the smaller elementals. With his personal drones, right?
I'm
missing that.
He created technology, so he had it on a smaller scale, but he needed the glasses to like access like the whole system or whatever. Because they said in the beginning
he was the one who
access to the entire defense system.
He was the one who created the Civil War thing, right?
Like, yeah, the CGI.
I didn't like that. I don't know why.
That whole little sequence kind of like pissed me off.
It was like it's so like oh it tying together like
everything has to tie.
What do you mean? Okay.
Because remember, when they're revealing Jake Gyllenhaal's Mysterio's intentions, they showed that in Civil War, when in the beginning of Civil War, when he's giving the audience a look into his life, he was going to create the hologram technology, as in Mysterio did, and then all that Tony did with that technology was just to make himself as younger to show the crowd, like the show. So he was just pissed off about that. Like, I don't know. I didn't really like that. I didn't like that his whole purpose was to hate Tony, not Peter. So it's like he's really a Tony villain, even though Mysterio is a Spider-Man villain. Like, I don't know.
You know, and let's talk about that. This is the one of the biggest problems I have with the film is that no matter what, it couldn't escape the fact that it was part of the MCU. They had to keep mentioning something. Oh, Tony this, will he be the next Iron Man? Mysterio hates Tony Stark. All these things. They could never stop talking about it. And
I think this is where we're gonna disagree.
No, but here's the thing. The whole movie, the struggle for Peter was, can you live up to Iron Man's shoes? But that's not what Spider-Man is. You know, Spider-Man. That's what I love about Tobey Maguire. We shouldn't always compare it because it's a different take. But you know, it feels like it doesn't feel like Spider-Man because his journey should be. They touch on it a little bit. The responsibility he has as Spider-Man, what he has to give up, and the life he has to give up, and the choice he has to make. And, like, the only time they really touched on that was in that plane scene where, like you said, where Happy was talking to Spider-Man about, you know, you don't be the next Tony Stark, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, he's like, just be the best you. And that's what, in Homecoming, that's what Tony Stark also said. Like, don't be me, be better than me. And I feel like the focus should be on him being the best Spider-Man, saying, not being like, oh, I don't want to be Tony Stark.
I mean,
Stark
that was
anymore.
The end arc of the movie. The finale of the movie was that I am not. There is no next Iron Man. I am Spider-Man. You know, that was the point of the movie. Just the way it was made wasn't as great, but that was the point of the movie. The arc of the movie is that I have to get out of Tony's shadow. I have to move on from his death. That's it. That was the point of the movie. Now, yes, they spent on him going back, but that was the arc of the movie, 100%.
Here's my thing, because like guys, it's set in the MCU, so. This is the way things are. Like,
but they don't have to keep reminding. I agree. We don't have to compare though, because the comparing thing is. Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you, Umar, but the comparing thing is true because we cannot act like Christopher Reeve fans in a sense where, oh my God, our version was it, and we can't accept any difference because we're doing the same thing. Because for us, Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man is exactly what Christopher Reeve's Superman was to that generation, right? And we're doing the same thing with MCU Spider-Man. We're not taking a different interpretation.
But
that's why I'm very lenient.
Pause. I want to say for the record that I actually like Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man.
Yeah, we do too. He's good.
I like him too, but
good too, man.
I don't put him in my top, but yeah, he's good. All three Spider-Men are amazing. They have a better track record than Superman or Batman. Spider-Man has a much better track record.
The MCU is set a certain way, and to be honest, I wouldn't give a shit about this movie.
This movie was needed. It was like a transition movie.
What they're calling it, an epilogue to Endgame. Like, you needed the reaction. Just like, you need a movie that was set. It had the perfect balance where it is a Spider-Man movie, but it is in that universe. So of course Nick Fury's there, and you have Mysterio has history with the in the universe. He's not like some idiot that just shows up randomly. Like, in my opinion, when you have an interconnected universe, you kind of have to, you have to kind of show that. And the fans actually like that. The MCU fans, the movies are made for them.
Yeah, they like
it. We're
yeah.
fans of it too. Like, we are technically MCU fans as well.
Of course.
But the movies are made for the fans. So if the fans like the fact that it's an interconnected universe, of course you're going to make the stories that way. Now, does that mean you're going to make the best Spider-Man film? Of course not, because you're held down in a sense, like, by that universe. But at the same time, fans going into that, especially us as critics, us going into that, knowing that it's an interconnected universe, cannot complain and say that, oh, even though I agree with you, I agree that it was some, at some point it was a little too much, like, maybe it was a little too much, but at the same time, this is what the MCU is. So
I mean, this is why they made the deal with Sony. They wanted to bring Spider-Man into the universe. If they were not going to make an interconnection, then they would have kept him out. You know, they would have kept him with Sony alone. And eventually, maybe Sony will take him back, but I don't think they're going to, as long as this movie does good. And as of speaking, it already broke multiple records, so it's going to make money. It's going to break a billion, no doubt about that. But let's talk about another point. I'll pass it to Samir. So let's talk about the post-credit scenes. Samir, what did you think about the first post-credit scene, the big reveal, which is that they brought J.K. Simmons back now that his Batman contract is over. They brought him back to be... J. Jonah Jameson, what was your thought on that big reveal? It was set up as a very shock value moment. So what did you think about it?
Definitely saw it coming, though.
You saw it coming? but what did you think about, like, bringing him back? Like, would you prefer a new cast, or are you good with them? Yeah, like,
He was good. He was good. He was really good. He played the character perfectly for the, like, 10 seconds he was in the movie.
Or what did you think about J. Jonah being back?
I mean, it was a nice callback to the old movies.
Assumingly, he's going to be a big part of the third movie. Assumingly.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, listen, so that was the big, I think that was, like, nice for the fans to see, especially Spider-Man fans, especially us, because we grew up with the other movies.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool to see him back, but also Mysterio telling the world that it's freaking Peter Parker, Spider-Man, that was kind of lit too.
Loki, let's actually jump up from there. I'll pass it to Zion. Where do you think Spider-Man goes from here? Like, do you think this is a good point we left him up? Is Phase 4 starting now? This is the end of Phase 3. Phase 4 is starting for the next movie, but Spider-Man's going to be a big part of it. Where does Spider-Man go from here now that the end of the movie is the world knowing Peter Parker is Spider-Man, which is a big reveal. It's a
huge reveal. Because anybody who's read Spider-Man comics, watched the shows, you know that he holds on to his identity like no other hero. Like, maybe Batman's the only one. Like, his identity is the most important thing, and them showing it, one, is a huge move by Sony or Marvel, MCU, whoever made that creative decision. And I think it's going to be short-lived. I think it was more for the shock value, because if they really are making 9 films, I don't think you really have Spider-Man, like, operating in true fashion if everybody knows Peter Parker. I think they're going to have to, like... self-fix it with the next movie. Obviously, it's going to be a huge part of the plot.
I don't think they will, to be honest. I think it's all planned. I think they have a plan already set in motion.
Of course, they have a plan.
Well, now there are theories.
Yeah, right? They're not going to retcon anything.
I mean, there is one theory. There is one theory that, you know, Daredevil might show up as in next movie. Peter is going to need a lawyer. That's number one. And the best lawyer in New York is Matt Murdock. And right now, the contract situation is that...
Yo, that would be crazy.
The contract situation right now is that the MCU is not allowed to use Daredevil or that actor as Daredevil until 2020, right? But that's the perfect time, because 2020 is when they're going to start shooting the next Spider-Man movie anyways. So, if I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's just a rumor that's floating around these days, but if they wanted to go that direction and needed a kick-ass lawyer who can actually make a case that, oh yeah... No, Peter Parker is not Spider-Man, and we
there's like a doctored footage.
And there's a doctored or whatever they want to do with it. They could make a whole ass story of Daredevil and Spider-Man working together, which is a huge fantasy for a lot of nerds.
And it's been done a lot.
Yeah,
it's done in comics and adaptations.
Yeah, it's a big partnership. Like, if you guys are Spider-Man fans in the comics or in the TV shows, Daredevil and Spider-Man are tight. Like, they become tight. And listen, we always say, you know, Peter's keep looking for a mentor. Daredevil's a good mentor, you know, I think. It'd be interesting. So what do you think about theory? Like, no, you're not feeling it, Samir?
They better not do that.
Why? What? Tell me what you call.
Give him another mentor.
Yeah, you don't want a mentor, but
yeah,
do you,
I'm tired of that shit, bro.
I forget the mentor. Then forget the mentor. But do you want Daredevil in the MCU with Spider-Man?
Yeah, obviously. I want Deadpool Spider-Man. Chill.
That I don't know about that.
That's way worse.
I think if Deadpool,
if they do that, then you know it's gonna be another joke fest.
Yeah, I don't want Deadpool and Spider-Man. I know Deadpool's in the MCU now, so he's gonna make it.
Deadpool's first Joker. Can I just say Deadpool's shit?
Yeah, but now he's in the MCU.
I don't want Deadpool in the Spider-Man movies. I want Spider-Man in a Deadpool movie.
Dak, listen, there's going to be another Deadpool movie, but this time it's going to be PG-13.
You hear what I said?
Yeah, it's going to be shit like the other two.
You hear what I said?
Yeah, yeah, but
you want Spider-Man and Deadpool movies.
Listen, Umar, but it's now Kevin Feige's doing it.
Shut up, man.
All right, listen. Listen, it's possible if Deadpool shows up. That's a whole other podcast.
I think Daredevil showing up is kind of lady lit, but... Not Deadpool, bro.
No. Well, how they need somebody to make the case for Spider-Man not being Peter Parker.
Yeah, like, I agree with John that you can't go.
I don't think they do, dude. He's gonna have Tony. He's gonna be like Tony Stark.
No, but different than Tony. That Tony's a billionaire, right? So, and he's the leader of the Avengers, meaning his role, he can be out there walking around. I am Tony Stark, and you can't stop me. Peter can't do that because number one, he's a kid, meaning. If you know who Peter is, then you know who his classmates are, then you know Aunt May is. Like, you can attack him in different ways if you can't attack Tony,
the
right?
The whole point of this movie is that, oh, he knows who I am, so he's going to attack my friends.
Yeah, remember that's the whole point of the movie, that way I'm going to attack my friends. I think in the beginning, the first act or the second act of the next movie is going to cover it. They're not going to retcon it right away, but by the end of the third act, they're going to have to resolve it in a sense where it comes out that he had lied or whatever, or it's wrong or something like that, or fake news. They're already making this JJ very different, like the J. Jonah Jameson of the original trilogy was kind of a good guy. Like he sticks up for Peter.
He was a nice guy.
Yeah, but this JJ is more like Alex Jones type.
Or like Spider-Man PS4 and was played the game.
Yeah.
Which also like Alex Jones represents.
Yeah, so obviously this JJ will be more evil, I can tell, but we never know. Okay, so let's move to
Evil, he'll be anti-Spider-Man. Evil, yeah.
All right, let's move to the second, not second, but the post-credit scene now. Of the big reveal, obviously we all know for, I mean, we talk about it, but Samuel L. Jackson was in the movie, huge role actually, he was in the whole time basically. But it comes out that in the end he's actually Talos from Captain Marvel. So what was everyone's initial reaction? I'll start with Umar, I think, on this one.
Oh my God.
Umar, what was your initial reaction learning that Talos was Nick Fury for this movie? Actually, we don't know how
my
long
initial reaction was. Yeah, so my first reaction was it was stupid, but my second reaction was. Nick Fury, and throughout the film, made some really dumb decisions that would make you wonder, like, what the hell? Like, why is he? Like, just certain things that he was doing is, like, dumb, right? So, but he had some Nick Fury moments, too. For example, when he swore at Peter, like, deep into space.
My favorite moment, I think, which was, like, indicative of kind of what that relationship was when. After they stopped the elemental, the third one, when they thought it was over, before the Mysterio reveal, he was like, you know, Stark chose you, and maybe he was wrong, but listen, you better step up or not.
Okay,
you know?
Why did everything have to be a joke? All of a sudden, oh yeah, can you step up? Can you get Iron Man?
Right,
that was Talos.
Let Samir jump in. So what were you
that
thinking,
Samir? That is garbage.
Aren't they just setting up Captain Marvel 2?
They're either setting Captain Marvel. Well, first it depends. When do you guys think, how long has Talos been Fury? What do you guys think?
He said it himself in the movie. Since the beginning.
No. Are you out of your mind?
Yeah, since the beginning. Since the beginning of Spider-Man, the whole Mysterio thing,
oh, yeah,
it
yeah.
wasn't him.
In this movie, not since the beginning of the MCU.
In this movie.
Since the beginning of the...
Yeah, when he said the beginning, he's away from the Avengers.
I mean, in the movie. It's just the beginning of the movie where we saw Fury in, like, New Mexico.
What are they setting up, though? They're either setting up Captain Marvel 2, my actual guess is setting up Guardians 3. I think in Guardians 3, they're going to meet Fury. That's my guess.
Oh my gosh.
That makes no sense.
Okay, because he's in space and he's going to run into him?
But then that's someone Kree, like, not why I keep saying Kree. Skrull, like,
yes. Oh,
living thing.
Oh, and,
yeah, so it's obviously Captain Marvel.
The Guardians can't meet
Captain
Skrulls?
Marvel?
No, because all rumors for Captain Marvel 2 is that it's still going to be a prequel. So it's going to be, again, in the between time, not after Endgame.
That's mega shit.
That's dumb.
Because Captain Marvel has millions. Remember, she has millions of stories to tell.
Yeah, but you know, everything works out because she's
okay.
Like so
okay. Okay. Once again, what is this? Hypocritical time? We're all fine with Wonder Woman having a second movie in the past. She gets a second movie in the past too.
Because they retconned it.
Biggest
doesn't exist.
Okay, but we could have had a Wonder movie after Justice League 2. We got a Wonder Woman happening after
Justice League. Doesn't exist either.
Well, it happened in present day then. But
that doesn't exist.
Who cares? The point is that they can do movies in the past. It doesn't really matter. But the point I'm making is that obviously we all disagree on certain things about the Skrulls or that. First of all, the Skrulls came in Dark Phoenix also.
Yeah, and they were done better.
So they're like two versions of the Skrulls.
Yeah, they're done much better.
But
that's beyond the point.
All right, let's get into like the latter half of it, which we talk about rankings and scores. Okay? So first...
I don't have a problem with the Skrulls. I don't have a problem with with Nick Fury being a Skrull. The problem I have was Skrulls were shit in Captain Marvel. I don't want them in the MCU. They're trash. They're garbage.
Dude, that's because the movie's
garbage. All right, listen.
Yeah, yeah. If they handled Skrull better and Nick Fury was a Skrull, I'd be like, yo, that's like...
X-Men couldn't even say the word Skrull, and they handled it better.
All right. Exactly. All right, listen. Let's talk about. Let's go into the latter half. We talk about rankings and ratings and all that. But before that, let's move into the ranking of our 8 Spider-Man movies. There's been 8 theatrically released Spider-Man movies. We're gonna rank them right now.
That's crazy. Rank them. Let's go.
First, who needs to re-know the list? If you don't even know, Zion's say all this right now.
I'm gonna say the list because I already have mine.
All right.
Start
number one. Let's go down.
All right. My worst Spider-Man movie is. Amazing Spider-Man 2, which in hindsight might be better.
Freaking not.
Might be better than Far From Home. But right now, it's Amazing Spider-Man 2. Then Far From Home is number 7. Then Homecoming is number 6. Then Amazing Spider-Man. Then Spider-Man 3 is number 4. Spider-Verse is number 3. Spider-Man is number 2. And Spider-Man 2 is number 1.
All right, who wants to go next?
Samir, go.
All right, I got Spider-Man 2 first. Wait, we're going from worst to best?
You can go either way. I know I sound worst to best, but you can go wherever way you want.
Yeah, well,
it's more confusing to go worst to best.
Spider-Man 2, Spider-Verse, Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man, Far From Home, Spider-Man 3, Homecoming, and then Spider-Man 2.
So both you and Zion have Amazing Spider-Man 2 last.
Yeah.
All right.
Or Homecoming. I don't know. They're interchangeable. All
right. Alright, so, Umar, you want to go next or should I go next?
You go next.
Alright, so I want to preface my comment saying there's never been a bad Spider-Man film, and I stand by that. There's never been a bad Spider-Man film yet. That's something that Batman fans can't say, that's something Superman fans can't say, but Spider-Man fans can say there's never been a bad Spider-Man film. All of them are good in their own way. So let's give me my ranking. At number one, I have Spider-Man 2, which means all three of us have Spider-Man 2 number one. Obviously, it's untouchable. That movie is like, if you watch, like, if you rewatch Spider-Man 2, what the hell? It came out the same year as Batman Begins and is more rewatchable than Batman Begins. Has better quality, better CGI.
We're not going to discussion, right? Compare with the Spider-Man movies.
I'm saying, but Spider-Man 2, my God, that movie holds up beautifully.
I know, it really does. Right.
So, Spider-Man 2 is like the Dark Knight of Spider-Man movies. Like, it's literally the Dark Knight of Spider-Man. It's untouchable.
All right.
Spider-Man 2 at number Spider-Man 2 is number 1. Then number 2 I have Spider-Verse. After Spider-Verse, I have Spider-Man. After Spider-Man, I have Amazing Spider-Man 1. Then Spider-Man 3. Then Far From Home. Then Homecoming. And then Amazing Spider-Man 2. So far, all three of us have the same number 1, the same last. Alright. Umar and I give your list. And please do not give your hyperbole list. Give your list that's going to stand the test of time.
Spider-Man 3 is 1.
Oh my God.
Hell no.
Spider-Man 2 is 2. Spider-Man 1 is 1. Sorry. Wait. Spider-Man 3 is the first place.
Alright.
Spider-Man 1 is 3.
Spider-Man 2 is second place. Spider-Man 1 is third. And this is the one you guys will hate most probably, but Amazing Spider-Man 2 is fourth. I like that movie a lot. I don't know why people hate that movie. Right. That movie was good.
Because the villain was trash. And
you're trash. You're trash.
The villain was...
The
little cheeks.
The villain was acting cheeks. Not lying.
It had the best suit, though.
I actually don't like that suit. Not lying.
No, that's the second best suit by far.
All right, keep going.
It's all
right. Spider-Verse.
All right.
Far From Home. Amazing One. Homecoming.
All right. Let me preface this comment by saying Amazing Spider-Man 2 has the worst Spider-Man villains ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, that was one of the worst Harry Osborns I've ever seen. Like a bad Harry Osborn.
The only one person who worse, a worse Harry Osborn is MCU.
The only good part about that movie is the chemistry between Gwen and Peter. That's why the death scene was really good.
Exactly, and that was the heart of the movie.
Of course, because
that was actually a love story movie.
Those two movies are a complete love story. Like, you're that the romance story, those two movies, right?
Yeah, so the first movie really felt like Spider-Man.
I'm going to give it.
We both give 3.5, which is a good score. I mean, above average.
No, because there is no bad. We're comparing it within the Spider-Man film scope, where there's no bad film, but 3.5, the fact that 3.5 is one of the lesser films shows you how good Spider-Man movies as a whole are.
Yeah, like, Far From Home 3.5 is all on our low tier, all of us in the lower end, and 3.5 is a good score. That's a great score for a movie. Like, not everyone has to be 5 out of 5.
I give Amazing Spider-Man 2 is my worst. I give it a 3.
So,
like, it's not a, there's no bad.
So, now that we've said that, let Umar and Samir give their scores. What do you guys give Far From Home? Anyone can go.
I gave it a 3.5.
3.5 is a...
I gave
Homecoming
a 3.
All right, so all of us gave it 3.5, except for Umar. What did you give it, Umar?
I gave it a 2.5.
All right, so let's just bump Umar's score up. He gave it a 3. All right.
We're bumping it 3. Executive...
yeah, you know what? Listen. It's a 3, yeah.
So what did you guys think about Spider-Man Far From Home? Leave your thoughts in the comments below and let us know what you think. And give us your rankings and your rating for Spider-Man and where you think the character is going to go next. From myself, from Zion, from Umar, and from Samir, this is the Faruqi Bros. We'll see you next time. Peace out.